Brother, let's go back tonight for just a moment as far as this foundation is concerned and what we're talking about. Not particularly in review, but to make us mindful of certain things that we said last week pertaining to the foundation. There were four things that we mentioned. Let me restate those. One of them is that God is the same. He's unchanging. God exists outside of our categories, our definitions. Outside of everything that we can say He is, He exists. There's no way tonight we can know God except by the Spirit of God. God is unaffected by time. Now, there's many areas that we could go in and expound this. I say we're not looking to just go in for definitions of these things, but to lay an area to where God can go ahead and build in our lives. And the fourth was that God is complete in Himself. God is complete in Himself. Working from these four areas of knowing who God is, because everything that we are partaking of tonight is based upon who God is. Everything that He has done for us is based upon who He is. And that's important, because as we go on, even though with our minds, our natural thinking, all of the abilities that you may have or that you have learnt over the years that you've been here, there isn't anything that can help you know God. There's only one way, and that's God's way. Now, I say that to come in with just a little bit of negative to tear down some things. You've heard me say it before. Others have said it. I'm going to say it again tonight. I want us to let it sink in. We have, in many cases, we have created a God of our minds. We have created in our minds who God is. We have set up certain things in our thinking where we approach God, we do what we want to, and feel comfortable in the presence we think of God. We think that we can go on and live in a religious way, naming the name of Jesus. And the reason we believe this, without coming into God and seeing what God has done and what He has said He is, to think that we will be able to make it without coming God's way. Of course, we think we are coming God's way. And why I say that is our minds have been programmed to a God of grace that allows us to continue on without any standards of any degree. They're not a standards of holiness. We have created our own standards. What we think we can get by with, what we can feel comfortable with. And in the society in which we live, we're real brash. We have no fear. And when I say that, it's because our concepts of God is purely intellectual. God is only known by the Spirit. Now, I mean, you might not like the negative because that shakes us and you say, well, I'm not that way. And I'm not thinking that way. We have created this. We feel comfortable, and most of us are deceived. Because our God is a God that we have created. We feel that He moves according to what we think, rather than He moves outside of everything that we are. He moves, and He is doing exactly what He said. And all the standards are Himself. And that's why we need to know Him. And the only way we're going to know Him is by revelation. Now, let's clear that word just a little bit, because we're going to come right back to the Scriptures here in a second to see these Scriptures that we know, we've gone over time and time again, but we want to look at them afresh tonight, because here is the area that God has called us that we might know Him, but we can only know Him as He reveals Himself by His Spirit. And He has sent the Spirit to bring about everything that He has purposed in His heart. Everything that God has purposed. God's will is being brought about at this time by the power of the Spirit, and there's no way that our natural minds, feelings, emotions, whatever you want to call, all of the intellectual, all of the theology that you might have, all of the right doctrine, there's no way that you can know God in this. There's only one way, and that's by the Spirit of God. Now, we know that here, but we do not believe it. I'm talking about in generalities now. You may believe it in certain little instances, but if we did, it would put a holy awe in our hearts. It would put us at a place seeking God with our whole hearts. We would not be divided. We would not have our minds set upon the things of this world or the way that the world is going, nor would we have the fears, but our hearts would be moving in God to know Him. And that's the only way you're going to know God, is as He reveals Himself to us. So that's why I say that we have created this, and we talk to each other. You communicate back and forth. We say certain things about God, and yet we go out and act the exact opposite. So we really don't believe it. It isn't revelation to our hearts. Or if it is, there we are in absolute rebellion against God. So it's not revelation to us. It's only head knowledge. No more than the Pharisees. They had a knowledge about God. They did not know Him. And as we look at these scriptures again tonight in the book of Romans, just turn there if we might. I know that there's going to be repetition. And I do not apologize for it, because I believe that we need to stay here until God speaks to us by the Spirit. And I'm not saying I'm going to camp here. I'm just saying that I feel tonight we need to look at it again, afresh. Need to open up our hearts that the Spirit of God can break down into us to see the simplicity in which God is moving. God is not moving in a profound way as far as the natural mind is concerned. It's a very simple way of moving. He's a loving Father, and He has sent the Holy Spirit to do what? To share with us the depths of Himself. Now, in Romans 8, which we touched last week, and we went over it in a few ways, looking at some of the areas. But I want us to take spatial note of a few verses before we go on further. In the fourth verse, there's an area of the commandments of the law being fulfilled in us. The righteous demands, as the King James tells us. The translation I'm using, so that the commandment of the law may find fulfillment in us. Now, I know that we've had teaching, and I feel it's good teaching as far as the separation of law and grace. We need to know about that. But don't think that because we move under grace that the demands of a holy God has changed. They have not. And the law is no more than the righteous demands of a holy God. And we're not under the law, because He has come and given the Spirit, that those that walk in the Spirit, that means in union with the Spirit, will fulfill the righteous demands of God. There's a big difference. There's a big difference from the outward and the inward. And each one of us, if we have the Spirit of God at all, can sense the inward, the freedom that there is in it. There's no bondage in the Spirit. It's all freedom. Now, you need to redefine, and the only way you can redefine in these areas As far as freedom and bondage, is to let God redefine them for you. If you try with your natural mind, you'll get bound up yourself. You can't. So many are looking for freedom defined with their definition. Freedom tonight is a person. The limits of God's freedom is Christ. No more, no less. It's all spiritual, the kingdom of God. There's nothing natural about the kingdom of God. The control of God, there's nothing natural about it. Even though our members are used by God. And as we said last week, you yielded them to the world, to sin. Now that you're a new creation in God, and that's important to see that we are a new creation. Now, don't tack words onto your experience. And so often we do, and I'm not trying to take away from our experience in God, but I'm saying if we go back and rest and say, one day I met the Lord, I've been born again. That's cheap unless you're walking in a relationship with God tonight. You can go back and say, I've been born anew. Are you enjoying the Lord? Are you moving on in what He's doing? Because this is the only place that has any meaning. It goes on in this fourth verse. Whose conduct? This is what this translation says. Whose conduct? No longer under the control of the lower nature. Is directed by the Spirit. Now this is coming from the Holy Spirit. And only God tonight can speak to our hearts to see the seriousness of it. We may not like the severity of God's word as it comes. You may feel that it's hard. But God speaks, and it's only hard to those if we do not want to move, if we want to hang on to something. In other words, it's light. It gives us a place to move. And we can move out of bondage because they were captivated in our minds with all of these areas that I've been talking about, and we're not moving in the freedom and in the life of the Spirit, then it can bring freedom to us. Because freedom is Christ. And that's not a freedom that's we might call an emotional freedom. That's not a freedom to just do what I want to. It's a freedom to come into that relationship with God where I am bound to His purpose by His life. I'm not struggling trying to serve God. I am bound with the power of the Holy Spirit, able to move in God. And as long as I stay there, I do not have to be afraid because He is faithful. He's able to direct me. He's able to cause me to know where to move, where not to move. If I'm sensitive, it's only when I move past that place, hardening my heart. And we would be surprised how many little things hardens our heart to where we cannot hear what God's saying. We just don't hear what God's saying. We only hear what we allow ourselves. We come in service after service. We wonder why there's not a response to God's word. Some of us are trying, and once in a while we take a step. Now, I may be minimizing the thing, or I may be blowing it up a little bit. You'll have to let God speak to you. But I sense overall that there needs to be more revealing of the life of God in each one of us, in our progress. Our progress in relationship with God, our relationship one with another. And as long as we feel comfortable in the place that we do, we feel comfortable with God because we do not worship the God that's living, that does not change. Now, you'd question that, but I'm saying that because if we worship the God, we could not be going the direction that our lives are going sometimes. It would definitely have an effect upon us. Because what I'm saying is, God orders everything that He is doing on who He is. And if we put our whole hearts into who He is and what He has made, definite statements about Himself that is revealed to us by the Spirit, the course of our lives together would be God. We would be moving in God together. We would be enjoying God in the degree that we are growing. Now don't get in your minds that I'm not giving a place for growth. There's plenty of place for growth in God. We are growing, we are learning, we are knowing. But all of it is based upon experiencing God as He reveals Himself to us. Now, let's look a little bit farther here. Going on to read right on in the fifth verse. Those who live on the level of their lower nature, or their human nature, you can say that. You live on this level, our outlooks are formed by them. Now, with this forming of our minds on this level, we create our God. We bring our lives into a religious setting. And we feel comfortable in it. That's why we go along. There's not the progress that there should be. There's not the response. God speaks and we put it off. We talk about a holy God, but as far as holiness is concerned, we can put a definition on that we could go back and get some scriptures, but God wants to see that expressed in you. God's not interested in your definition. He's interested in the expression of Himself in you. That's what He wants. That's what He's looking for. That's what He's going to have, because He's God. The Word is given not to formulate doctrines. Good doctrine will bring us into a relationship with God. Good teaching is a must. I'm not taking away from that. But we cannot rest just because we have knowledge of the things of God. God, by the Spirit, which He has given it for one purpose, that we might experience Him. And we'll read that as we go on here. But here we need to see that if we look and live on this level, if we live on this natural level, and most of us say, well, we're still in the body, we can't help it. That isn't what God says. That's all I can say. I'll say it again. I know you get tired of me saying it. But God never called you in His new creation to live on the level or with the control of this human nature or desires. And it's very plain here. That's why I'm bringing these again to our attention. That the Holy Spirit can prick our hearts, can disturb you. Because if God doesn't disturb us, unless we start to seek Him with our whole hearts, we'll continue on with the God of our minds. And you know what comes out of that? I can tell you, strife, arguments, indifferent. When you move it in your spirit, it brings you to a oneness, fellowship, love, enjoyment of God. So when you move in the other, it brings separation, sorrows, heartaches, fears, doubtings. Very simple. You know where you're at. If you're moving under this area of the lower nature or the human nature, if you're living on that level, and you know what it says? It spells death. That's not talking about natural death. That's talking about you don't know God if you're living on this level. You cannot know God. You're dead as far as He is concerned, and it's just a question of time before you as a person in a living form pass on off. And the spiritual death is manifested in a physical death. But then we go on. But those that live on the level of the Spirit, how do I live on the level of the Spirit? He's my life. Now we know this. We've heard it. But how many of you are living the life of God? You can. He has given you the provision. He has given you Himself. There's not a one of us can say, I can't. The provision has been made. The only thing that I can say and come back to, I won't. I can still come up with those things which I think is what I have to meet. But brethren, when we stand before Him, all of our excuses and all of the things that we manufacture to tell God, we'll never open our mouth, because we're stood there. When we stand there, we will be known, and we will not even make a feeble excuse. We'll make feeble excuses like this to one another. But when we stand before God, we will not make any excuses. There will be no excuse. Because most of us, somewhere down the line, we know. We just don't want to. We feel that we can serve God and still enjoy ourselves in this world. Impossible. In God, you're not even made for this world. You cannot feel comfortable in this world. You can feel comfortable in God. You can walk through it. You can affect it. You can be a light in it. You can be salt to it. But you can't feel comfortable in it. And when we start to feel comfortable in it, you know something is happening. The God that allows you to feel comfortable because the Holy Spirit has come will not let you feel comfortable in this land. You're a pilgrim. You belong somewhere else. If your heart is set upon heavenly things, then your life is going to show forth that. And that's the command. Set your affection on things above. Don't set them on things on this earth. I'm talking now foundation. Foundation which is God. Ephesians 2:20 tells us that He is that foundation. He is the chief foundation stone. That's where it's built upon. That's what everything God is building on is Himself. And when we see that foundation, when God starts to open our eyes and we start to see it, because just remember, He said, this is what I'm going to build my church on. What is it? Revelation. God revealing by the Spirit to the hearts of man. He started there when he spoke to Peter. Who do you say I am? Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. We cannot learn these things. You can't go to a book and search them out, even though you come up with the facts. It's only when the Spirit of God, and we'll go right to that. Let's look at that just for a moment over there in Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians. To see, the wisdom of God is hidden. If we just admit that for a moment. There's only one way we can look into it. It's been hidden from the very foundation of the world. No way that man could see God. Sin had done just what God said it did. It separated man from God. Man no longer could experience God. There was no way that man, he could see the works of God's hands. He could look around as far as the universe, as far as the creation, he could see this. But he could not know God. And this is why we laid out certain things as far as what God is. Who is He? But we can only know that as we move on in, because God's going to reveal Himself to us. In the seventh, or this begin at the sixth verse of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. And yet I speak words of wisdom to those who are ripe for it. Not wisdom beginning to this passing age. Not a wisdom belonging to this passing age. It doesn't belong to, it's not the wisdom of the world. Nor to any of its governing powers, which are declining to their end. I speak God's hidden wisdom, His secret purpose, formed from the very beginning to bring us to His full glory. All right, how's it going to come? Because this is what we need to see. And beloved, you're not going to be brought to this place tonight just by teaching, just by listening to this. Just not saying amen to this. It's going to be in a relationship and a response to God as God speaks to you. If God is not speaking to you, wait upon Him until He does speak. Till He makes Himself known to you. To the reality of this relationship. The joy fills your soul until your face is prostrate before Him. Until you start to worship and know God and trust God and rest. Not in what you can do, but what He can do. That's what we're bidding for in our times of intercession, is to know God, to come down to a place of being still, and to start to realize that God is God. I think we're sensing it in some degree. I'm just saying we need to go on. We're not going to get it. We can be encouraged. I can exhort you. The Word can come, but only the Spirit of God in our hearts. That anointing is the only thing that's going to teach you. It's going to give you the wisdom, to show you the hidden wisdom that we're talking about, that Paul is talking about here. Let me read that again. I speak God's hidden wisdom, His secret purpose, framed from the very beginning to bring us to our full glory. The power that rules the world have never known it. If they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But in the words of the Scripture, things beyond our seeing, things beyond our hearing, things beyond our imagination, all prepared by God for those who love Him. These it is that God has revealed to us through the Spirit. This is where the revealing comes. Now this is for each one of us, beloved. Because there's many many areas of thinking. Some are not serious. Some think that we can just come in and we're a part of an organization, so to speak. We would say no, we've been taught different. We think that we can go on and kind of do what we want to do, but there's only one place in the working of God, and that's to know Him. To come on into this in a practical working out. To let the love of God grip our hearts. Beloved, you've been created for this. It won't work out any other way except this. If you do not accept the love of God, it'll destroy you. It becomes the wrath of God, even though sometimes it's hard to understand this working. But unless you allow the love of God to grip your heart, you cannot find fulfillment if you continue to be led by the lower human element, its desires, what it wants to satisfy its own desires now. It's called lust. And it's no different, beloved, whether you're old here tonight, and when I say old, more mature as far as the world is concerned, older of age, or whether you're a young person tonight. God is still the same. He does not change. You're not going to change Him. Your definition of God does not change Him. He's still God, and He still wants to be God to you. Let me address some of our young people right here. Some of you are looking for acceptance. The only place you're ever going to find acceptance is in God. If you're looking for acceptance as far as the peers around you, or as far as the grown-ups, or you're looking to be treated in a special way, God treats you in a special way as He treats all of us. I know we're all growing, each one of us. Whether we're down here as children, and I make no limits on God. God can meet the 3-year-old, the 4-year-old, the 5-year-old, right on up. I'm not talking about division here. I'm talking about that God is the same, and He will be the same. It doesn't make any difference what age you are. And the grace that comes to us, that's teaching us how to live godly in this present age, is the same grace. He doesn't change. If you're looking for a slot, if you're looking for a religion that'll let you do what you want to do, you can find it. But when you find the revelation of God and the Spirit of God moving, there's only one way, and that's God's way. That's God. And it brings you up into who He is. And it's by His revealing. We don't have to be sad. We don't have to be pressed down, because what I'm talking about is going to lift us up. It's going to lift us up above the pressures and the power of the enemy that's around us to deceive us. It's going to bring us up into our freedom as the sons of God. To know God, to experience God, to find purpose in why we're here. But unless our minds start to think upon what God has revealed to us, unless we start to let our minds be cleansed and washed and transformed by the renewing of the Spirit of God as He moves, then, brother, our minds are going to be set. Our affections are going to be set. We're going to think that God has two standards, and that we can get away with the way we're living. A little religious. But brother, God is still God. And you know, and every one of you will admit with me tonight, that God is just. But His standard of judgment is Christ Jesus. It's by grace. And grace doesn't cover. Grace moves into change. God doesn't cover us up and take us in just the way we are. Brother, He changes us. When grace moves and we move by faith to receive what God has for us, there's a transformation. You're no good for the kingdom of God until God makes you ready. And now as we move into this place, and that's when we're brought into the body of Christ, there we're ready to start to know Him, to start to enjoy Him together. How many of you believe that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit enjoy each other? Now, don't think it's on your level. Because unless you have revelation, you don't know what enjoyment is. But you look on it at God's level by revelation. I mean, the Spirit revealing to you, and you'll find out there's this joy that far succeeds anything that you know about as far as joy is concerned. Because your joy is predicated on your definition of what joy is. What I'm talking about is the joy of the Lord. That's not a joy that you feel just emotionally. You may at times feel emotional about it. And praise God for that if you want to feel emotional about it. I'm not saying that we're supposed to be old dead woods with no smile. But when all of your feelings go, do you still have the joy of the Lord? Brother, he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. There was a joy in the way he was moving. There was a purpose in the way he was moving, and there should be a purpose in each one of our lives in the way we're moving. A purpose because we know him. And I'm bidding for that place, brother, and it's not going to start, it's not going to be overnight. We're going to move into this. But commitment means Christ. It means the beginning. I'm not bidding tonight for an additional commitment. I'm moving for a manifestation of the commitment that you made when you accepted Christ and received the life that he gave. Many people today are looking for renewal. Something over here that you can commit yourself again. Recommitment. There's no such thing. There just needs to be a manifestation of the one commitment, because if you're a child of God, you're committed. If you're not committed, you're not a child of God. Now, that's not hard. It's no different than if you approach God and God in the garden and he says, here's one tree and here's another tree. Don't eat of this tree. He didn't say that you couldn't have this tree. They didn't know anything about this tree because they hadn't eaten from it. They ate from this tree. They wanted to be as God. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. And you know the awfulness of that fall. If you don't, just the reality of looking around and seeing your inability to even know God tonight ought to speak to you. But then to see what God has done and to see how he has, in his graciousness, drawn us into this place. So we need to be renewed in this area, in our minds and in our spirit, to where we can move on in knowing him, experiencing him, getting out of all of the do's and don'ts. Because when you're moving in the life, everything is yes. It's only when you move out of the life that you hit the no's. You there? But brother, when you see it's time to obey, it's time to respond. I mean, what kind of God do we serve? Do we serve a God that has no standards? And if our God is a God and we have a revelation, then our lives need to measure up to his standards. Now you say, what are you saying? I'm saying just that we serve a holy God, and he says, be holy for I am holy. Do something because of who you are. That's what I'm saying. We're responsible. God has made us responsible. We go along and say, I'm waiting for God to strike me dead somewhere along the way, or open my eyes to where I can see. I'm looking for him to do like he did Paul. Your Paul's experience was when you received Christ. Now God's looking for you as a son, obedience. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for obedience. He's looking for you to put your will into his will. You have the ability. He's not going to give you more life. He is life within you. Let's go on just a little bit farther. As we've already read there in the latter part of the ninth verse, things beyond our seeing, things beyond our hearing, things beyond our imagination. That's where God dwells. We cannot see it unless God reveals it to us. When God reveals it to us, everything that God reveals to us is for one purpose. Because everything that God is revealing is himself. Everything that God is revealing is himself. Every word that God speaks has purpose. God doesn't just take and pass the time of day with us like sometimes we do. We speak without purpose, loose chatter, religious jargon. But God, when he speaks, he does not speak with all of these things. And yet, I bring us back to this place that we have created this type of God, that we don't think that the God that you're talking about tonight is not the God that I know. But the God that you think you know, that you can go and you can get away with things, that you can escape, that you can hide from these things, and you cannot be absolute with what God is saying, that's not the God that I know either. God that I know is a loving God that draws me unto himself. And if I'm going to enjoy him, I cannot enjoy two things. I cannot love the world, the things of the world, and love God. It's a contradiction. It's a lie. And that's what I'm saying tonight to us. For our consideration, afresh, this is not something that all of us do not know, at least in our heads. But I'm bidding for that place that we start to look to God, that we start to bend our hearts down before him And then we enter into an area of worship that I believe that some of us are desiring but have not touched yet. Because worship recognizes who He is. And I just wonder if we fully realize that our God is a holy God. He's a God that is all powerful, all power. He's not going to get more powerful. He's not going to change in any way. But He is a God that has all power. All power. And He has released that power in a way that will transform the universe and the world in those that receive Him. Because that's what He's doing. The end results, you've already heard it time and time again, the end results is that Christ will be all in all at that time when everything has come underneath His authority, underneath His feet. God will be all in all. Fills the universe with His glory. And brethren, right now we are partakers of that glory. You may not sense it. You may be looking for it in emotions or some other way. But the glory of God has come because God has come. God is not going to wait to come. God has come by the Holy Spirit. And He bids for each one of our hearts that we might open to Him. This is His purpose in this hour, to come to indwell, that we might be built together. You cannot be built together unless the Holy Ghost, unless God has come to indwell you as His tabernacle. He's building His church. They're being built together. The habitation is God in His tabernacle. But only as He has come can we know this working. Because nothing of the working of God is on a natural way. All of the programs that we might come up with will never move us one step into what God is doing. It'll never move us into community. There's only one thing that can move us into community, and that is into the life of God, is the Spirit of God as we respond to Him. And in responding to God, then we can respond to one another. If you want to know how you should act, then you've got to know God. Because the only way that you're going to move is in complete harmony with who God is. If you have God. And if you want to live a spiritual life, there's not two standards. There's only one. Now, we get confused because we look around us. And we'll go back and we'll trace Christianity, so-called. We think this is it. And we come back and we trace all through what we know, what little bit about it. And we see rises and we see dips. And all of these things, and we try to justify where we're at. All I can say is you better forget it all and find out where you're at in God by the Spirit. Because that's the only thing that's going to make any difference. It didn't question what Luther did or anybody else did. It isn't what the charismatics are doing. It's what God is doing in you tonight. It's in the relationship that you have with God. When we get our eyes on all of these other things, we start making excuses. We start to see them. The standard wanes. We don't have to be strict with God. God's a loving God. See, we create the God of our minds. Sure, He's a loving God. But He's a loving God that wants to change us and has changed us in Christ Jesus when we come to Him. How many of you want to be like you were? I don't think there's too many of you there that want to be like you were. You wanted to be changed, but how far you want to go with it? You know, how far does God want to go? He doesn't want to see anything but Jesus. That's all He wants to see in you. He wants to sense the fragrance of all that He is. Is He able? You've been made by Him and for Him. Sure He's able. Some of us, we look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit as some experience with God. That's when God comes to inhabit this tabernacle. I'm talking about you. Can He do it? There's not even a question about it. When we know who God is, and we know that God does not change, and God's all powerful, He's bringing everything in the area of faith, because God can't move past that. It takes faith to please Him. So don't think you're going to move any other way. If you set your minds on the things of this world, it means death, as we read there in Romans. We need to see that, brother. If anything tonight you say, I don't want fear, we need the proper fear. I'd love to see you shaken with fear. Say, Lord, I'm missing it. Show me Yourself. That's the kind of fear we need. Not the fear that drives us and torments us, but the fear that brings us into a reality in God of what He had for us. We're missing so much, beloved. Missing so much that God has for us. And I know that you can't be driven into it. God's going to lead us into it. But we've got to see where we're at, whether we're really moving in God. If we see what God has done, we cannot feel comfortable in anything less than moving under His control and His direction. So that's what faith moves in. We've redefined our faith. We think belief is faith. Brother, belief is not faith. Come on with all your definitions that you want to, but belief is not faith. The devils believe, but they don't have faith. There's a difference between ones that just believe and those that have faith. Faith moves in God because it begins in God. And this is what our foundation is built on. Now, all of this is important, beloved, because as I've already encouraged us, we're going to move next into the body, the headship of Christ. Has no meaning unless we're built on a foundation. There's only one foundation. That foundation is Christ. Unless we start there, unless we have a good foundation, unless you're in relationship with God, you can't move in the body. In fact, I would go a step further. If you're not in that place on the foundation, you're not in the body. Now you say, where I am, I don't have enough understanding. Do you want understanding? That's the first thing. Do you want understanding? Where do I get it? You got a book? No books. There's only one place, God's Word. The Holy Spirit tonight wants to reveal Himself if we're willing to turn loose. And for us to move into what God is wanting and desiring and what He has given to us in Christ Jesus, beloved, it's going to take a drastic change. Revolutionary. Fanatical. But if you want to compare it to anything else around, that's what it's going to take. An opposite direction. Well, I don't know whether I want that. Do you want God? Can you trust Him? Because when you know Him, you trust Him. What did Abraham? He heard God, and what did he do? He didn't know where he was going. He just went out, not knowing whether. I mean, this is a manifestation of faith. We can learn from all of these different ones of a God that is, and a God that's able to change us. We can learn from this. But it won't do any good just to learn unless we experience. Because God doesn't want you to learn about Abraham and to know all about what Abraham done. He wants you to know the God of Abraham. As He spoke, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God wants you to know Him. He doesn't want you to know about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now He wants you to know God. But we can see how God moved. You can see that the God that does not change is the same God of the old, that's the same God of the new. But we have made definitions and divisions there that confuse us. And all I'm trying to do tonight, if it's being done even poorly, is to get the confusion out of our mind to where there's no two standards. There's not your standard or your ways. It's God's way. It's God's way. Every step that we take. Let's go on just a little bit further here in this particular passage in 1 Corinthians. The Spirit explores everything, even the depths of God's own nature. How can we know it? This is the only way. Man, He's going to bring the reality of all that God is into expression in you. He's not going to just fill your mind. Don't think for one minute because you know certain things. And we have a history about knowledge. We can be proud of all of the Bible knowledge that we have. Can we? We can only rejoice in that which has become a reality in our walk. Among men who know what a man is, but the man's own spirit within him. In the same way, only the Spirit of God knows what God is. How are you going to know Him? By the Spirit. Is it complicated? It's not complicated at all. Can you tell me how? No. I can encourage you to that relationship with Him. But He reserves all things. As far as the working out of it, it's in His hands. You agree? It's the anointing. It's the Holy Spirit within you. And God commands you to abide in that anointing. You can't take one step in your own knowledge. It takes the Holy Spirit, and that's what he's saying here. And he knows the depths of God. He receives those things which are of God. The Spirit we have received from God, and not the spirit of the world, so that we may know all God of his... all that God of his own grace has given us. And because we are interpreting spiritual truths to those that have the Spirit. It's plain, isn't it? How many times have we read it? There's only one way that we can know. There's only one truth that we want to know. It's spiritual truth. Not natural things, not natural understanding, spiritual truth. Who can interpret it? It's being interpreted to those that have the Spirit. It's a spirit transaction. And I'm not talking about the mystics. I'm talking about the new creation. I'm talking about those that enter in, those that have joy, those that bless each other when they're being cursed. Talking about those that can turn and say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they did. Talking about those that say, forgetting those things which are behind, I press on towards the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. That's what stimulates me. That's what motivates me. It's the life of God. It's God himself transforming and changing. A complete trust. And that can only be built if I am walking. So we're encouraging tonight to take that step, more steps, to come out of this mind type of religion. There's too many areas in this working that causes us not to move in faith. What about this? What about this? God isn't looking for questions. He's looking for obedience. There may come questions in our mind, but are they honest questions? Or only questions allowing us to stay where we're at? Too many times I've bumped into those questions in our hearts that is defending us, making an excuse for where we're at. You'll not have to answer to me, beloved, or anybody else. Only to God. And we have no excuse there. In fact, I would say we'd pronounce our own judgment. Because we know. If we get there and we have not gone the way of the Spirit, we will know. There's no witness. There's no peace. That moderating peace. And when God comes, he brings peace. He brings reality. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Is it flowing? Or is the well stopped up? Because a lot of times, this old mind grabs it and the flow is not there. The joy is not there. And brother, I'm talking about in the times of sorrow. I happened to be down with Brother Sheets last night when they were taking and working on Diane there, and all I can say is, in the midst of pain, in the midst of all of the other, and I'm not bragging on her or anything else, but there was a rejoicing, there was a confidence. There was no fear. And each one of us come to our places, to where we move into this place, to where we see whether the real peace of God is there. When the demands come down upon us, is the peace of God there, or are we chafing at the bit? You know what it means to chafe? Some of y'all don't know what it means to chafe at the bit. I'm sure you don't. It's just a saying that's come off. You get a horse or old mule and you put a bit in his mouth and he don't like to be guided anywhere. So he pulls that. He grabs that bit and he tries to go his way. We used to have a couple of horses around here and they'd grab the bit in their mouth. You couldn't even saw it out of their mouth. They'd grab it and run the way they wanted to run. Usually it was home to where they didn't have to do what you wanted to do. That's the way some of us, as far as God is concerned. We grab the bit. We don't want to move in God. Because it moves us separate from the world. It moves us over here to where we start to enjoy God. And if we don't get to that place to where we're enjoying God, then we're chafing all the time because we don't like the requirements. The standard is too high. Is God's standard too high, beloved? Is it too high?
No.
We know it's not. But I'm trying to get us down tonight to where we'll say, on our face before him, Lord, let me worship you tonight because I know you. I want to experience all that you have for me. Let's go back to Romans just a moment. Not going to take too much more time tonight, but I just pray that each one of you will take these scriptures. I know we have not been spending enough time with meditating before God and waiting on God till these things break upon our hearts. I'm not concerned tonight if you disagree with me. I'm concerned if you disagree with God. Go back and let these scriptures wash us. Let God give you the answer that you need. If it's an honest answer, God will answer your honest question. You're looking for that answer. In Romans 8, back again. In the 7th verse, for the outlook of the lower nature is enmity with God. The outlook of all of our humanity is enmity with God. All of our outlook from our standpoint is all enmity with God. That's shaking, isn't it? Where can I move? God has opened up the wide place. You got to come through the narrow place, though, to get into the wide place. Most of us don't like to come through the narrow place to know the depths of God's love. It's there. It's there, beloved. Don't think tonight that I'm standing here and trying to get you to come to a narrow place and then saying, it's a narrow place, I can't move. Brother, when you get into God, you start to move. You start to find purpose. You start to enjoy. You start to know what community is all about. You give. And you can give and know what it really means. Because God's life is a giving life. Giving. What a joy to move into this place with God. To see what love really means. To know the freedom of love. Every place. And every expression that we give and every relationship that we have. A freedom in love. Asking nothing in return. See, if we define what we term love, so many times it moves over into that lower human element. Where does it lead us? Death. Doesn't lead us into God. Leads us into death. If we look on this way, it's not even subject to the law of God. Does God have a law? See, all the kind of things. We go from one extreme to another extreme because we're moving in the natural. We're moving with natural understanding. So we don't want to get over here into all grace, and we don't want to get into all law. We're still trying to know the difference between the knowledge of good and evil. We're still trying to find that balance. In God, there is no balance. Understand me right. There is no balance in God. When you're in God, brother, you're in God. There's no balance in God. Amen?
Amen.
Weak. When you see God, you see there's no balance. It's God. Show me there's a change in God, the way you have to get a balance in God. If you're in God, there is no balance. It's only when you're trying to get over here and walk that tightrope that you need a balance. There's no fanaticism in God. Look at Jesus. No fanaticism. So what do you need to balance between somebody that's fanatical and somebody that's got their feet on the ground? In God, you've got your feet on the ground all the way. That's what I'm saying. If you're in the Spirit and being led, controlled by the Spirit, there is no balance. But we keep saying, and I find myself once in a while saying it too, you know, we need a balance of this thing. But tonight I tell you, we don't need a balance when we're in God. The thing is to get into God and to move and to know what that is. Quickly. At the 90s. But that is not how you live. You are on a spiritual level. Here it is. Definite. You are on a spiritual level. There's no such thing. You're not living according to the natural. You're not living in this lower realm. You're not living according to the human element. Oh, you say, but I'm still in this body. Yes, you're still in that body. But it's a body of death, yes. But Paul goes on to tell you that the Spirit, if He dwells in you, He's going to quicken and give this mortal flesh life. That's not at the rapture, beloved. That's that we might walk pleasing in all of our ways because we're walking in the light of God. You go ahead and read it time and time again. Read it until God breaks into your heart. Till He starts to take and that anointing starts to grip you. I know at different times you'll get in there and God starts to speak and you'll say, yes. It becomes a reality, yes. But that's not enough, brother, just to say yes when you see it. It's yes when you do it.
Amen.
Yes when you do it.
Amen.
Because everything that God's speaking, let me say it again, is for doing. Because doing is experiencing. Experiencing is God. And that's what it's all about. If a man does not possess the Spirit of Christ, he is no Christian. But if Christ is dwelling within you, then although the body is dead, a dead thing because you sin, yet the Spirit is life itself because you have been justified. Moreover, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you, then the God who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give new life to your mortal bodies through His indwelling Spirit. On the day that Paul met some of those disciples, he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" They said, "We have not heard." This is the type of heart, this is the type of response, brethren, that we need. If we have not experienced, we need to experience. In other words, we have not come to Jesus Christ except for one thing: to be made ready for His indwelling. Hallelujah. Justified. Don't blame it on somebody that brought justification back into light. It's never changed. God has always looked for that one thing, justification. Don't tell me it came by this one and that one. Justification came through the act of God. See, we throw all of this thing back into history, and we think that God is having a re-transformation or a reformation or something. What God is doing has always been in God's heart, and God is always right on time, and what God is doing is perfect. What we see around us is not perfect, but what God is doing is perfect. There's only one thing that can get into God, and those that are moving by the Spirit, and God's always had a people. Don't kid yourself. You may not know them all because we don't have complete communication like God has all around the world. God's everywhere. I said last week that, you know, God is a God that's omnipresent. Hallelujah. He knows this. And those that name the name of Jesus depart from iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is just not gross sin. Iniquity is satisfying yourself and living for yourself. That's iniquity that grips our heart and controls us. Our life is now God. This is where we need to move. This is where we need to move with a heart that's filled with worship. It'll change everything. It'll change your prayer life. It'll get us into that place that intercession will not no longer be a word to us. It will not be something that we're trying to define. It will be something that we're seeking God and entering in to what God is doing. Identifying with Him in the life of God. Feeling the heartbeat of God. Is that a place for us? Amen. That's what God's called us to. My house shall be a house of prayer. What's that mean? A house of communion. Where God is in the midst. Where God is moving. Of course, I'm sure that some of us wouldn't appreciate that too much if, when our lives were not in line, if we stepped in the gathering of God's people. I'm not talking about the doors there. I'm talking about into the midst of God's people. And God was there to say, "Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, something's wrong in your life." Always done it in the past. You can't lie to the Holy Ghost and live. Oh, we think, well, God's not moving in this way anymore. See, that's why I bring us back. We don't think that God is God. We have created a God. Now, this get down and let God by the Spirit reveal who He is. Bring us to that place that there is a working in our lives together to where we enter on into this fellowship that God has purposed for us. And, brethren, it's going to take some definite steps. According to the way we may be thinking, they may be drastic. But when you move into a love affair with God, every step is not drastic, brother. It's what we desire. Right? If you don't know what love is, ask God. Don't look up at some book and find the definition of love. Or don't in your way look for what love does for you and allows you to be soothed, and this is love. Love is something that only God can reveal to us, and it's only that which God wants to reveal through us. God's not looking for our definition of what love is. God is looking to manifest His love through us. His nature through us. And that's why He's given the Spirit. To bring the deep things of God. Who God is. Man can't know Him. But God has made a way that we can know Him. By the Spirit. Because we are growing up into the fullness of Him. That's what's happening. That's what God says. Some of us have got the old concept and it's never got out of our mind. That one day, Jesus is going to come and the trump's going to sound, and all of my impurities and all of my sin that I've been in is going to be changed. I'm going to be changed, and I'm going to meet him in the air, and I'm going to enjoy heaven for the rest of my life. Oh, it's a glorious salvation. Emotional purity. That's a deception of the devil. I'm not talking about the coming of the Lord. I mean the deception that you think that you're going to just live the way you want to, and one day God's going to change you, and you're going to enjoy heaven. You'll not enjoy heaven unless you're enjoying God, because heaven is God. I'm not saying the place of heaven is God. I'm just saying God is going to fill. We're going to grow up into the fullness of him. He's going to fill all in all. So what I'm saying is, it's God. And if we're not enjoying him now, if we're not in communion with him now, if we're not entering into this community that God has designed, one body. That's what he says. Everybody says, yes, I belong to the one body. Ecumenical in spirit, moving in what direction they want to move. We have sometimes that same spirit. What's the matter with this? What's the matter with that? The trouble is, we don't know God. That's the trouble. I'm not being divisive when I say that. I'm not being sectarian, no more than Paul. There's only one way, and that's God's way. And every man must come God's way, not your way, not my way, God's way. God is building his house. Man's not building it. Man's a part of it. And I trust tonight that we start to see a little more of what the foundation really means. Because unless that foundation, unless we get all the rubbish, all of our thinking off of the foundation, we're not going to build. We can go on into exhorting us about body life, but brother, we're not going to build. We're not going to be built together unless there's a solid foundation to where we can move and be fitted together into that building. And no foundation, no fitting. Because foundation begins with Christ Jesus. And you must be built upon that foundation. That's the beginning experience. Now, the gospel that we're talking about is the gospel of God. Not some gospel that man has defined and is preaching out here. The gospel I'm talking about is the power of God. Not only to transform us, but to make us everything that God says we are in him. How many of you are sensing that relationship with God? I'm just not looking for an answer at this moment, but an amen in your own heart. Because you know what God is saying to us. I don't think there's a one person here that does not know in some degree what God is saying to us. We do not know yet what the cost is, but we think we're hearing it. We think we're hearing the cost. We don't know whether we want to pay it or not. We can talk about community for the next 10 years unless we pay the cost. What is the cost? He's already paid it. We just have to enter in if we're going to enjoy it. You can't hang on to two. You can't love the world and love God. Community is God. Community is not a way of life. Community is God. Now, if you don't believe that, then search the Word. Go to God. Get your questions answered. Beloved, if there's questions, because God's moving. He's if you want to use an illustration, he's bringing us down to himself. And he's saying, go forward. Don't stand there. It's time to move. It's time to move on into me. It's time to know me. Experience me. To know my power. I can't. He'll just roll the waters up on their edges and we'll let you walk right on through. He'll show you that he's God. We talk about all of these things, but I'm talking about the reality of a relationship with God. They're only illustrations. But some of us, if we'd have come out of the Red Sea on that dry land looking over there, we'd have said, where's the grocery store? Where are we going to eat? Where's the next meal? They were the same way, beloved, so I mean, I know we'd be the same way too. Where's the drink? We're going thirsty. I mean, where's the water? He was there. And he's still the supply. I don't care where we're at. He's still that supply. Paul tells us in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He said, all of these things have been given for our example. To show us that God is still God and you can't get away with these things. God is still a holy God. We cannot take, sit down to eat, and rise up to play. Now you may think, we're not doing that. How many little idols do you pull out of the closet and dance around? Idols in your mind that allows you to move out of the purpose of God. To worship something that you do not know. And yet you started, but you cannot finish in the flesh. There's only one way. If we started in the Spirit, we're going to finish in the Spirit. We're going to finish in life. It's going to be a joyous company, even though tonight some of you are looking pretty sad out there. It's going to be a joyous entry, brother, when the trump sounds. And the saints of God ascend to be ever with Him. Not an escape, beloved. A joyous entry into that which we have yet not experienced. But when we do, we shall know as we are known. Hallelujah. I believe that we'll go on from here, but next week, the Lord permitting, I'm not going to stay here and labor on this foundation. I'm going to build on this foundation. Enough has been said. If we want to move and we want to see it and we want to clear the rubbish, if you remember about Nehemiah, I don't think Bruce brought this out the other day, but it's right in there if you were reading along with him. That rubbish on the foundation, and you got to get the rubbish off before you start to build. Right?
Amen.
And a lot of what I'm talking about is rubbish. What I'm talking about tonight, well, these thinkings today, it's rubbish. Get it off of the foundation or we're not going to build. As much as you say, I want it, you cannot build, because our lives together must be built upon a solid rock. Let me close with the words of Jesus as He spoke about that area of building. You all are very well aware of it. He that hears my word and acts upon it, I liken him as a man that digs deep, finds a rock, and builds his house upon that rock. And when the storms and the trials come, when the winds blow, that house is going to stand. But brother, there's another house coming, being built, shall I say. And it's not being dug deep and put upon the solid foundation. It's built upon the sand. When the winds come, when the trials come, it's destroyed. Now Jesus knew what He was saying. And the one thing was, as He is all the way through, somebody said, who is your sister and your brother? He asked the question. He said, these are my sister and my brother, those that hear my word and do it. In other words, God knows, and God gets right down to where each one of us live, because He has to see that we are dead as far as everything that we're trusting in, and alive unto God, and now we can move in God. So as we're looking for community, brother. We're looking to move on in and start to enjoy God in a fuller way. And we're going to be building as far as the body, starting to see some areas in there. But you're not going to move in it. And I'm desirous of every one of you moving in. Young and old, moving in God, moving in the body, taking your place of responsibility, being built together, fitly joined together. But see, I know and you know that you can't be a part of that unless you're on the foundation. Unless there's a solid foundation that your life is resting on. And then we see that we're brought into that body. You can't come in there and say, you know, I'm here. I want to be a Christian. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. It's the Spirit that brings you in and makes you one in the body. And starts to build you together. And then we start to know what community is all about. Then we start to know what the life of God is all about. We start to enjoy God together. We start to apprehend and comprehend God together. May God encourage us. Look at these scriptures, beloved. Pray. Look to God. Let God speak to you. And then when He does, I can only encourage you, obey Him. Take steps. I know some of you are already taking steps. Praise the Lord. Don't look around too quick and criticize people for taking steps, because each one of us have got to take steps with God. But our steps is going to bring us into a greater communion with God and with each other. Because when we're in communion with God, we're in communion with each other. That is, we're in God. If you find yourself not in communion with each other, check in. Check in with God and see how the relationship there is. I mean, somebody could find themselves in relationship with God and not be able to find relationship with God and others because others are not moving in God. I'm not saying that. That could happen. It does happen. But when you find that there's no relationship, it's better first to check in and say, Lord, where am I? Because if I'm in you, I ought to be able to find you somewhere out there. Because that's what our fellowship is in. It's in the Spirit. It's with each other in the life of God. It's not in your likes, dislikes, or what you're doing, or what you think you're doing. Our fellowship is in Him. Right? And that's where we need to be moving. Glory. I'll repeat again. If you have questions, get your questions answered. We're going forward. Because God is going forward. Not because I'm going forward, God is going forward. To a place of fuller enjoyment of Him. And as He does this, beloved, some of us are weighted down and you're going to have to start throwing the weights off. And so if you see some weights along the way, just rejoice. Don't pick them up. Some of us are scavengers. We've been to too many Goodwills. Spiritually speaking, I'm saying. Somebody throws down something, we pick it up and say, it's lawful for me. God hasn't spoken to me about it. We just been down to the spiritual Goodwill and picked it up, bought some of that old stuff that somebody else laid down. You'll lay down the weights, brother, when you start to run the race that's set before us. With patience. Glory. Silence doesn't disturb you, does it? Barry, lead us in a word of prayer there as we close tonight.